You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We're going to investigate between 40 and 50 different things. We have the capacity. We'll have 25 members on the committee, and we're going to have a staff close to 70. So we have the ability to investigate a lot of things. And let's just face it, Chuck, over the past 2 years, the Democrats on the House Oversight Committee haven't investigated anything in this administration.
Point made. That is Congressman James Comer, Kentucky Congressman, Republican. He's apparently going to be heading up the House Oversight Committee and said, we're going to investigate everything, 30, 40, 50, whatever we need, because this administration has controlled any inquiries up to now. I mean, come on. Just be realistic for one moment. If you were looking to investigate anything, you want to make January 6th a big deal and investigate? Okay. But how could you possibly overlook the Hunter Biden laptop? Oh, because you don't want to investigate that. Hey, thanks for joining us as always. This is November the 28th, 2022. And we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now. Enter in Larry Connors, USA. One word. It'll take you right to our studio. And we'd be glad to have you. You can also subscribe, and we'll send it to you every day so you don't have to worry, or you can pick it up later and listen at your pleasure. Same thing with our podcast of each program. I just got a note from someone. They heard me mention last week there might be changes coming that might take us off the air here. We're not sure what's going to happen, but he said, we just need to have you. We got to have you on the air. We got to have you on the air somewhere in the area, and not only for live, but later for podcast when we can't hear it. I appreciate that, and I've heard others expressing the same sentiment. It's your support that's built this program. It's your support that would keep us on or put us on another station, and I thank you. We got a lot to cover today. We are going to get into what the Republicans are going to do once they get in charge, and one of the things is going to be putting Dr. COVID fake back on the stand and saying, where are you getting some of that pharmaceutical money? What percentage you get? How much you get? Remember Congressman Rand Paul asking him repeatedly, Senator Rand Paul asking him repeatedly, and they were being denied the information? We'll be getting into that later. And speaking of COVID, of course, in China right now, they have massive, massive lockdowns already underway, and now we're seeing rioting in the streets. And in some cases, people are just holding up pieces of white paper, masses of them holding up pieces of white paper signifying free speech. There's no free speech in China, and they're going to keep it that way. Premier Xi is not about to give in. And you know how and why they can control the populace the way they do? Some of you aren't going to like this, but you do understand in China, citizens do not have any guns. They're not allowed to have them. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? We're also going to be joined a little bit later by Sarah Marshall Perry. She's a senior legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation on Civil Rights, and she's pointing out that a recent poll shows many Americans reject the Respect for Marriage Act. Why would they be against Respect for Marriage? Because it's a sham. It's a shell game to slide other stuff under the door. Woke policies. They put a nice name on it. You're expected to say, oh, that must be good. I'm all for respecting marriage. But it's a lot more than that. We'll get into it. And we'll be joined by Victoria Marshall from The Federalist. And she says how YouTube censored a YouTube user. You know what the YouTube user did? All he did was document all the Democrats denying elections. The election deniers? The ones they call out and everybody else make us look bad because we simply question election? Was that really that fair? I mean, was there something wrong? Could something have been done better? Was it cheating? Was it just stupidity? I know I said stupidity because I'm thinking it's a combination of that and a comedy. But the point is, that's all he was doing is quoting them. And for that, YouTube censored him? You remember when we were going to have a government of disinformation under the Biden administration? Compare that to what we're seeing happen in China. You see the linkage? Let your family and friends know we're on the air. Join us right now, either on Rumble or on the air at right now with us. Remember, lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We start with these protests spreading rapidly and intensely across China. Thousands of demonstrators are angry with COVID lockdowns, many of them calling for democracy and political freedoms and an end to President Xi Jinping's regime. Police have responded to the unrest with brutality, chaotic scenes of protesters being dragged, shoved, and beaten. Take a look at BBC reporter Ed Lawrence being taken into custody in Shanghai. Again, that is a journalist. Look what police are doing to him, taking him into custody. The BBC, the outlet he works for, says that Lawrence was kicked and handcuffed for hours before being released.
That is a report from CNN on what is happening in China right now under President Xi. As thousands upon thousands of Chinese residents are tired of being locked down, they have a zero policy for COVID in China. I told you last week, I believe it was, or maybe the week before. It's happened so many different times. In one factory or one big office building, they found one case of COVID. And for that, they were going to lock the entire building up with 2,000 plus employees. The employees started rushing toward the doors to get out before the doors were locked. So now you got these protesters all across the streets of China over the weekend. The communist Chinese regime is cracking down and cracking down hard. There have been reported in one city last night of shots being fired. No reports of any deaths, but I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't some, because they pretty well control what information comes out. That piece of information you were getting then was just one piece of information that got out. There are others trying to get stuff out, but the key point that was made in that statement was that they're also calling for the resignation of the dictator. Do you think Premier Xi is going to resign because a bunch of people are banging pots and pans and yelling and shouting it? You really think that? When all they've got are the pots and the pans, they have no weapons. This should be a lesson to America when you start meddling with our Second Amendment. This government would never be able to try to do that. We have more guns in this country than we do people. Three times as many. If guns were the problem, we'd already know it. But by the Second Amendment, you're guaranteed the right to protect yourself, your family, and everything else, and a right to own and bear arms and form a militia if necessary. I know folks say, well, that was back during then. You think it's changed that much, really? Do you know of any dictatorship that has existed in any country where they had guns that remained in power? The military might turn against them. They've got the guns. If they turn against the dictator, then things change rapidly. That's going to be, I think, the next key here. What are we going to see happen from the Chinese military? It's communist Chinese military, and it's the same thing they're facing right now in Russia. A lot of the Russians did not want their sons going off to war in Ukraine. And they've been protesting inside Russia in various cities. They're arrested, and I don't know if they're heard from again or not. In China, I wouldn't expect they're ever heard from again. Part of this most recent event happened. There was an apartment building fire in one community. 10 died in that fire. It's a lockdown capital of an occupied area. And China is already committing genocide against the Uyghur Muslims of that region. So they're also locked down. But apparently all the lockdowns and all the precaution and everything and all the COVID concern, fire department crews could not get there. Then they couldn't get inside. And so 10 died. Saved them from COVID. But they died of smoke inhalation or the flames or a combination thereof. And there are various cases. I've got one piece of video here in front of me. A brave woman standing strong and filming the abuses of the Chinese government security forces. And they see her and they turn around and start beating on her. I want you to listen to a report that was filed by a CNN correspondent. Now, and here is where CNN has a value, being a real news source and not trying to be offering commentary in the sense that they're trying to politicize everything and make it all Trump's fault or conservatives' fault. If they're simply doing straight, good reporting. This is a report from a Chinese reporter that's inside. I mean, she's with CNN. She's inside China, and I don't know how she got her report out, but with some video as well. Her name is Sheila Wayne. I want you to hear her story.
This is unprecedented since Xi Jinping took power. What we are seeing is surreal and unbelievable. Last night, I was there in the middle of a protest in the capital of China. We're talking about a country where it is extremely dangerous to publicly criticize the party, especially Xi himself. You risk prison time or even worse, but that is exactly the risk people are taking across the country. And last night in Beijing, they were chanting over and over again, "We don't want COVID tests. We want freedom." Some shouting for freedom of speech, human rights. Many people also holding white papers in their hands. It's a sign of solidarity against censorship. And I spoke to a protester who told me he motorcycled and biked more than an hour to get to the scene. And when I asked him how he was feeling, this is what he told me.
I'm overwhelmed. Every conscientious Chinese should be here. They don't have to voice their opinions, but I hope they can stand with us.
What he's saying, I think, I just wish everyone in China would be here. They don't have to show their faces, but at least they're here and show more solidarity. I think that would help. He's probably right, maybe. But, of course, China's a very big country, and getting everybody there is going to be another issue. But there are plenty in that one city. I think that particular city has 14 to 20 million. They're not all in the streets. If I'm implying that to you, I need to retract that. They're not all out there because they fear the repercussions, which will be coming at some point. Now, back here stateside, Dr. Fake, of course, continues to dance around everything as to where he's getting his money, how much he's gotten, and where COVID originated. But let's just deal, first of all, with a question that was presented to him on MSNBC, Chuck Todd, and asking his reaction to what he is now seeing happen in China.
It seems that in China, it was just a very, very strict, extraordinary lockdown where you lock people in the house, but without any seemingly end game to it. If the end game was to let's get everybody vaccinated, including and particularly the vulnerable, then you could see how a temporary lockdown like that. But they went into a prolonged lockdown without any seeming purpose or end game to it, which is really doesn't make public health sense.
Doesn't make public health sense. But I want to caution you. Let's go back over some of his statements. We do not have the kind of lockdown they have had in China. I mean, they have literally welded doors shut so people cannot get out. Bars on windows so they can't crawl through their windows. They truly locked them down. We had what we call draconian lockdowns here, but I mean, nobody was coming over and barricading your door where you couldn't get out or taking your vehicles away from you or shooting you if you walked out on the street. Over there, they're making it very strong. But here's something Dr. Fake made in his remark, and this I find very interesting. He said, the only thing, you know, it's just that I don't see anything here that says they had any end game. Did we have an end game? I don't think so. I think we ended the game, but they didn't have an end game. They were going to continue to put all these laws upon us and close down our children and everything else, but they had no real end game until finally they realized, well, the politics have changed, so now we can change. And they were making it political science, not medical science. Which brings us again to the cause of the coronavirus. Remember the Wuhan lab that Dr. Fake was also contributing money on behalf of the U.S. to? And they were all originally trying to claim it was a wet market. He is still hedging his bets.
I have a completely open mind about that, despite people saying that I don't. I have a totally open mind about that. But if you look at the preponderance of evidence that has been accumulated by international group of highly respected evolutionary virologists, they feel, and they've written peer-reviewed papers on that, that the evidence strongly points to this being a natural occurrence of a jumping of a virus from a bat to an animal species to human. Hasn't been definitively proven, but the evidence on that is pretty strong. Having said that, we still all have to keep an open mind as to what the origin is.
Well, that's interesting. We had to keep an open mind, but when we were trying to discuss an open mind earlier, he was not being so open-minded. He's flat out denying it did not start in the Wuhan lab. We had nothing to do with it. There was nothing going on. And then it later admitted there was gain of function. There was gain of function, which means they were working with that virus, trying to figure out how to, one, weaponize it. And the other side, and it's hard for me to argue against this, that you need to understand what the enemy has, what they could use against you, and how to fight it, to come up with an antibiotic or whatever it might be at that point. But we were lied to by China. The World Health Organization lied to us on behalf of China. Dr. Fake carried the lie into the USA, saying, don't worry about it, it's not going to bother us. And the mask won't do any good anyway. Lying when he said because we didn't have enough equipment for our emergency workers, so he lied again then. And then, of course, he came to the aspect of, well, you might need a mask, then you'll be okay. No, now you might need two masks. But if you get the vaccine, you won't need it. Well, they changed that again, too, didn't they? And then let me take you back to one of the hearings of Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, pressing Dr. Fake on where's all this money and how much money are you and your researchers getting from Big Pharma?
Furthermore, we've been asking you, and you refuse to answer, whether anybody on the vaccine committees gets royalties from the pharmaceutical companies. I asked you last time, and what was your response? We don't have to tell you.
Right.
We've demanded them through Freedom of Information Act, and what have you said? We're not going to tell you. But I tell you this, when we get in charge, we're going to change the rules, and you will have to divulge where you get your royalties from what companies, and if anybody on the committee has a conflict of interest, we're going to learn about it. I promise you that.
Yeah, because now the Democrats are out of control of the House. Republicans have pushed forward. The Senate issue is still to be decided. They started voting this last Saturday in Georgia, and the vote itself is December 6th to see if Warnock can be unseated to make sure the Republicans don't end up with another 50-50, that we can have a seat above Democrats. Senator Rand Paul may not have a chance to ask him, but the House will. Speaking about the money, I'm looking at one of the latest disclosure numbers coming out. Now, this source is from Forbes magazine. Disclosure showing that they wrote Dr. Fauci's household made $1.7 million in 2020, including income, royalties, travel perks, investment gains. Now, where do you think he put his money to invest? I'm looking at this, and I don't see details right here on this one, but I do see that his federal income benefits normally would be $868,000, but then they had an unrealized gains of $1.7 million? Come on, come on. What do you think happened? And coming up, I told you this program is to fight and protect unborn and protect our kids from woke predators. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so I was telling you a moment ago about what we try to do in this program. And again, I remind you, if you want, you can join us right now at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, and it'll take you right to the studio. Welcome. Glad to have you on board. Or if you're listening, or if you want to watch later, they'll also be posted as a Rumble podcast later as well, too. I have a lot of first responders that listen because they know I'm very, very pro-police and pro—well, we're a patriotic program, first of all. I don't care what your political stripes are, your race, your ethnicity, your religion. I don't even care about your sexual preference as long as you're a patriot. Going to withdraw the sexual preference briefly to point out that if you're preying upon kids, no. Which brings me to this story. Boston Children's Hospital Gender Clinic, trying to explain what it's doing. A psychologist at the Boston Children's Hospital Gender Multi-Specialty Clinic made the admission during a presentation. Hear this. That children as young as 14 are pursuing mastectomies or breast implants. The Dr. Kerry McGregor said, a psychologist, I should say, youths, teenagers, basically, and even younger, but he says as early as 14 or 15 are now pursuing surgeries. Top surgery or chest surgery is the most common at that age. And Boston Children's Hospital is not the only one performing sex change surgeries on minors. A 2017 email exchange between our Assistant Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, a transgender, and the co-founder and co-director of the Gender and Sexuality Development Clinic at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia reveals the same surgeries underway in Pennsylvania. The co-founder and co-director of that clinic responded to a question from Rachel Levine, saying, I think we've had more than 10 patients who've had chest surgery under age 18, some as young as 15, one bottom surgery, 17 years of age, I guess they meant. And by bottom surgery, I don't know if they're talking about castration of a male. I'm not sure what they're talking about in that case. But they note the hospital has a Gen Z clinic, Generation Z clinic, which is a young child clinic. Isn't the first rule of medicine, the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm? And you're getting these kids puberty blockers, chopping off their breasts, castrating them, because that's what they feel like today. They want that today. And there is no tomorrow they can go back. The presentation was titled Gender Diversity and Affirmations for Children and Adolescents. Why don't you simply say this? Excuse me, if you're watching on Rumble, you're just going to have to live what I did then. It's titled Gender Diversity and Affirmation for Children and Adolescents. Why don't you title it Gender Diversity? I understand that exists. And helping children understand immediate and long-range impact. They don't do that. They just say, oh, you're not feeling like a boy today. You must be a girl. We'll help you out. We'll help you out, and we won't even tell your parents at school. In some schools, they will not do that. They don't let the parents know. The kid comes to school dressed as a boy, but has a dress hanging in a locker, changes to the dress, and wants to go around by a girl's name the rest of the day. But will change before they go back home. This is not any different than I know many of you listening, and you ladies in particular. Your parents were not going to let you go out of the house wearing that short skirt, right? And wearing the makeup. We know what you did. We all know we did. You did it. I was with girls that did it. I mean, they get to school, they put on the makeup, they shorten their skirt. Unless you had a school where they said, or we'll bring you into detention, then we'll bring your parents in and let them see you. That put a stop to it. So coming up, I want to discuss this issue with censorship. Remember the government disinformation office they were going to set up? Well, they're totally lost on that, and now the person they're going to select is now registering as a foreign agent. I'll come back to that later. But my next guest is going to talk about YouTube censors censoring a user who's simply claiming what the Democrats claim.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Let me, before I bring in my guest, share something with you. This is from Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, probably going to be elected the next Democrat House leader because Nancy's going to lose the gavel. Kevin McCarthy will have it, as Republicans have control of the House. And the reason I'm pointing this out is that Hakeem Jeffries, Congressman, Democrat, said in a tweet in 2020, history will never accept Trump as a legitimate president. That's what he said in his tweet. Didn't get shut down. And also Pelosi herself said in 2017, our election was hijacked. There is no question. And, of course, Hillary Clinton has also denied Trump is a legitimate president. Well, there are three Democrats that claim that Trump was not really the president. They are election deniers. They're election deniers just as surely as Stacey Abrams is, claiming that she really didn't lose to Kemp in the first election. I said, well, I conceded, but then she didn't accept it. Same thing with Hillary, admitting I conceded to Trump, but I don't accept it. So here's what happened. A YouTuber decided to publish the Democrats' 2016 stolen election claims. Just republish them. Here's my guest, Victoria Marshall with The Federalist. Welcome aboard, Victoria.
Thanks for having me.
So the point being here is that he's simply publishing what some of the stuff I just read and other Democrats denying the elections. He's just repeating their claims. What did YouTube do to that guy?
Yeah, well, YouTube actually censored Matt Raffaele. That's the YouTuber's name who makes these kind of montages of clips from Democratic politicians basically claiming that the 2016 election was stolen, and then he matches it up with Donald Trump's claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Basically, YouTube demonetized the two videos on the platform after Raffaele pushed back. They allowed the first video to be monetized, and then they deleted his second video, which compared Trump's claims to Hillary Clinton's claims. And they're threatening to take away his channel, essentially, kind of, and taking away his livelihood.
Well, I don't make my livelihood on it, but I mean, we were on YouTube until they didn't like an interview I did with someone, and we did it twice, and they took us off, so now we're on Rumble. But is it not ironic that he's simply repeating election-denying statements by Democrats? They were already on their they had already used it before themselves on their channels or their outlets, and nobody said a word. But if you're going to repeat what they said, then you're in trouble?
Exactly. And Raffaele had no commentary whatsoever. He just compared Trump's comments to Democrats' comments in 2016. And obviously, the comments that the Democrats made, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, about Trump being an illegitimate president, about Russia colluding with Donald Trump to make him a president, are baseless. Those claims are false. So under YouTube's own election integrity policies, those videos should also be taken off. But they're allowing Democrat claims of election denialism to pervade YouTube.
I guess, but, I'm sorry.
Trump's comments.
I'm sorry. I'm so confused. I'm so shallow. I don't understand why they would take his off and they didn't take theirs off. Help me understand.
Well, the thing is they actually think that Hillary Clinton's claims that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president in 2016 are actually true. That's what it is. But they don't want to air Trump's claims questioning the legitimacy of the 2020 election at all, because they want to control the narrative. They want to control what Americans think, and that's how they have political power in this country, is they manufacture the consent of the governed.
You quoted some of the remarks of the montage that he put up of Democrat politicians and media figures, and that includes, you know, who and the media figures, the state-controlled media, I call them now, SCM, questioning the results of the election, characterizing it as illegitimate, rigged, hacked, and they were just fine when they said it. But suddenly the fact that he repeats them, it brings a whole new light on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's so ironic, but it just shows that, you know, Democrats can get away with their election denial claims, but Republicans can't. And they don't care that Democrats don't care that they're hypocrites. YouTube doesn't care that they're hypocrites because they have political power and Republicans don't. So they can censor Republicans and they don't have to answer for it whatsoever.
No, and they're never going to it the way we are. Now, many, of course, on the left have gone absolutely bonkers over the fact that Musk bought Twitter, because they're saying he's going to, first of all, he's already decided he'd let Trump back on, but we don't know if Trump's going to do it. But they never complained about Twitter until it's in the hands of Musk. And now they're worried about censorship. But before, they had no care about it because they knew who was being censored.
Exactly. It was benefiting, the political party. I mean, the New York Post, when they came out in the 2020 election with a story on Hunter Biden that could have tipped the scales in President Trump's favor if more people read it, but Twitter censored it for 3 weeks. You know, their account was locked. No account could tweet that story out. And so the American people were denied that story. That probably would have changed how some people voted.
Many have said that. They've said that in surveys. They said, yeah, we definitely would have, it would have affected our vote. Now, I don't know that it would have affected everyone, but the same token, you were cheating the public of information to sway the election. That is the same as anything else. And I'd pointed out to my audience previously, before the first vote was cast, even the first absentee ballot was cast, when they were already claiming that the Russians had been involved back when Trump was running, and then going into the Biden story because the FBI went around and told all these big tech companies, beware, Russian propaganda may be coming around again. They were already changing the direction of the election and cheating and stealing before a single vote was cast.
100%. 100%. The FBI definitely colluded with big tech to censor the Hunter Biden story because they know that would have hurt President Joe Biden, because it shows that he's in bed with Ukrainians, essentially, and he's corrupt.
So when I look at what you wrote here, that despite finding himself and talking about your YouTuber once again under the boot of the left's censorship regime, he's still committed to creating videos challenging propaganda from both the left and the right, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, Orfelia doesn't consider himself a Republican or a Democrat. He calls himself an independent. He just wants his viewers to think for himself. He just wants to challenge the left and the media, the mainstream media's narrative, kind of telling Americans what to think. He wants, he wants to show kind of the hypocrisy of both the left and the right so we can make up our minds for ourselves. So he's not partisan whatsoever.
You're listening to Victoria Marshall with The Federalist, and to that extent, again, I mean, censorship by any other name is still censorship, be it to the left or the right or however you define it. You know, you're confining, you're controlling, you're shutting it down. Where do you see us going forward now that we're, I think a lot of the general public, be they Democrat, Independent, Republican, certainly in those last two categories, but even Democrats are realizing, this is wrong. I should be allowed to make my own thinking and my own process. Give me the information. I'll decide.
I just think we're going to be seeing both Democrats and Republicans having kind of their own sources of information, their own kind of social media networking sites, whether it's True Social, kind of the right version of Twitter. There'll be alternatives to Instagram and Facebook just because those companies are dominated by the left, and so they censor Republicans and they censor conservatives, and there's no way that we can get the information that we need out to our voters and to the American people. So I think a lot of business-minded people, entrepreneurs, will just create their own alternatives and platforms to Twitter, to Facebook. I'm excited that Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, but I still think that's the direction the right's going to have to take.
Yeah, and the difference is each one of those groups has their own conservative type or liberal publications and our networks, but the mass media through the Twitter and the big tech, that changes the game. I want to thank you very much for your article and bringing this to light, and I appreciate you spending some time with me on it.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Victoria Marshall with The Federalist. I encourage you to read her article. YouTube censored user after he published the Democrats' anti-election claims. Coming up, the propaganda of truth. Whatever happened to that? Or more importantly, what happened to the person who was going to head it up? Stand by, please. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, you can't help but get your toe tapping a little bit with that, can you? Elvis and Hound Dog. Now, we were talking previously about censorship and how YouTube was censoring a YouTube user because he was basically doing a montage of Democrats denying elections that they lost, like to Trump or Abrams to Kemp in her first election. And, of course, Hillary to Trump. I mean, and they deny, and that's okay. But if you dare deny, if you dare question an election, you're like a, they're going to look at you like a sheep-killing dog. They'll put you down as fast as they can. Do you remember on the morning of April the 27th this year, the Department of Homeland Security announced the creation of the first Disinformation Governance Board? Yeah, Disinformation Governance Board. You want to put your faith into that? They said the stated goal was to coordinate countering misinformation related to Homeland Security. Read between the lines. Homeland Security in this case means all the illegals coming across the border, which even the current White House spokeswoman stood up there and said, there aren't people walking across the border. That doesn't happen. I'm an idiot. An idiot statement from, I hate to call someone an idiot, but when you're going to make a statement like that, I'm going to call you an idiot. The pictures are everywhere. But they were going to put this Department of Homeland Security in Disinformation Governance Board, and it would control the narrative going out. So, no, they were not walking across. The pictures, oh, those are all fake. And man never landed on the moon either, you know. And the earth is still flat. They named a 33-year-old woman, Nina Jankowicz, as the executive director. You recall that? She was going to run this new operation. They said it's important that we have control of disinformation. Of course, what is disinformation? Is it information they don't want you to have? Or is it really incorrect information? Or is it partly true, partly false? Or is it all fiction? It could be that. The editor of the author, I should say, of the books, this same person, wrote How to Be a Woman Online and How to Lose the Information War. She had multiple stints at nonpartisan think tanks and included work that included strengthening democratic institutions, when it really should say Democrat institutions. But within hours of her appointment, the board and DHS came under criticism, along with her, because there's such scant details of what she was actually going to do. And Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas stated, and I'm reading from the Washington Post, his statement. He said, quote, "We could have done a better job of communicating what it is and what it isn't." Yeah, you could have. It's stupid. We're not going to do it. But then you got Jankowicz also getting some attacks because she was characterized as a primary target because she'd already been on the internet constantly in various viral events attacking Trump and all conservatives. So you're going to bring someone like this in to be a judge and jury of what is good information, bad information, misinformation, false information. You see where that goes? It goes around and around in circles. So what they did is they decided to put the program on pause. Yeah, just days later, they said, we're just going to put it on pause. Well, now she has registered as an agent, a foreign agent, and that might sound sinister, but it's not. You just have to do that if you're going to work for another government. And I know the group is connected to Israel, but I haven't had a chance to look at it closely enough to see if it's really Israel or a group inside. But the bottom line is, and here's what she wrote. She said, the cat's out of the bag. Here's what I've been up to the past 2 months, why I've been a bit quiet on here. Honored to be serving the Biden administration, DHS, Gov, and helping shape our counter-disinformation efforts. That's what she put out right before she was announced, or right after. Funny, I never did see her put something out. Cat's back in the bag. I'm going to be back in hiding. I got to hide because nobody likes me anymore. You know, when they put out this thing and talking about creating a what would amount to a ministry of truth, immediately there was something like 53,000 posts on Twitter mentioning, and some referring to her by name, that this is not someone who should be watching and the gatekeeper. Thank God that message got through loud and clear. Coming up in the next hour, there is something called the Respect for Marriage Act. Now, who would be against Respect for Marriage Act? You would. When you hear the tales, it's really just a sham. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.